Hey, hey, and welcome to Stopping By. I'm Doug Pierce, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with Pinnacle Wealth Partners at UBS Financial.
And I'm Jess DeBair, Associate Director and Senior Wealth Strategy Associate, also with Pinnacle Wealth Partners. We are located in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and can be reached at pwp@ubs.com.
Team's mission, our just cause, is to bring financial literacy and competency to the masses. We've been fortunate to meet interesting people along the way. They have compelling life stories about overcoming adversity and seeking their passion. Hopefully, you'll see that our guests are just like you. So Jess, who's stopping by today?
Doug, today we are chatting with Neil Godfrey, financial expert and New York Times bestselling author. She is not affiliated with UBS Financial Services Incorporated, and her views are her own.
Neil always brings the good intel for us.
Indeed.
All right, let's see who's stopping by today. I have to get a new vet for Ace. They sent all the doctor records. So I read them and they're like, he's the best cat ever. He's such a lovable guy. I mean, it's like, it's gushing.
Well, were you like, tell me something I don't already know? You know he's a good kitty.
Well, listen, I don't know. My wife doesn't think he's a good kitty.
Do you think your cat could be the basis for a gray divorce down the
road? Oh, whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, Jessica DeBair is a professional broadcaster.
What was it?
Wait, so speaking of that, what was it like when a book shows up at the house preparing for a gray divorce? Did you have to get mad? Hey, I just want to warn you. We've got something coming in the mail.
No, absolutely not. Did you?
No?
No.
No, she saw it. She's like, what? This is good for what we do. This is very helpful.
All right. Should we dig in, guys? I'm so excited.
Take it away.
All right, Doug, we have yet another first for our Stopping By listeners today. Today, we'd like to welcome our first repeat guest who truly needs no introduction, but I am, of course, delighted to give one anyway. Today, we are joined again by the incredible Neil Godfrey, a New York Times bestselling author, financial expert, and trailblazer in financial literacy. Neil has dedicated her career to empowering people, especially women and families, to take control of their financial futures. You may recognize her from her numerous media appearances, including the Oprah Winfrey Show, where she helped bring financial education into the mainstream. Today, Neil is back with us to talk about her latest book, Get Off Your Assets, A Woman's Guide to Avoid Getting Screwed in Your Gray Divorce. I said it. This book is a must-read for anyone facing divorce later in life, offering crucial financial guidance, smart strategies, and a dose of tough love to ensure women don't find themselves at a disadvantage. Bjorn DeBair, husband, if you're listening to this podcast, I want you to know I am taking copious notes today. We are thrilled to have Neil back with us to share her insights, wisdom, and real-world advice. Neil Godfrey, welcome back, and thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. And I know it's a little creepy having the book around because husbands go, really?
We got to keep him on his toes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Keep him going.
Yeah.
I think they call that peace through strength, right? Wow. Just show the book. I'm going to let you know.
Yes, just saying. Here's the book.
Right? Just saying. Just going to leave this on the coffee table. Okay. So before we dive into the meat and potatoes here, folks, I want to encourage our listeners to please check our first episode with Neil, which dropped last year. You're going to learn all about her background and her ridiculously impressive career before she turned powerhouse financial expertise author. I really want to get the most out of your time today, Neil, on Gray Divorce. But please, folks, please do check out that other episode.
All right, so let's talk here. So, Neil, one of the things I love about this book in particular is your voice. It's like you're talking to someone, right? There's like some message you're communicating, one person in mind or something. So you've written extensively for children and parents and financial literacy, life transitions like divorce. How do you approach writing differently for these audiences?
Having been there, done that, and gotten the t-shirt, I've been married and divorced 3 times. It's really important when you write that you know to whom you're speaking. And I literally picture that woman who needs the advice, who is either thinking about this, knee deep in it, or coming out of a gray divorce, to really have somebody who's going to be an advocate. I mean, you guys are designing the financial side. What's so important is that women do get screwed in a gray divorce. You need someone who's going to be in your corner. And that's the person I'd like to be. You're not going to get a lot of support from a lot of family, a lot of friends who are going to be going, oh, come on, suck it up.
Well, so tell us, what motivated you to write this book specifically for women experiencing gray divorce?
Gray divorce is now the largest growing segment of divorce in our country. It's a brand new phenomenon, but basically, over a third of divorces now are gray, meaning people over 50 years old, because we are waking up, we are living longer, we want more out of life, and we're able to take that step. What are the things that you need to think about before you get into this to make sure that you don't make some of the mistakes that your parents are going through and have made? Yeah. So that's what motivated me.
Give us a sense of what are some of the most common financial pitfalls that women face during a gray divorce, and how can those be avoided?
In a lot of instances within marriages, and I'm sure you guys have seen this a lot, the woman has abdicated her role in handling the financial matters. You guys see it all the time. One of the things in the book that I write about is financial infidelity. Kind of not facing, do you know where the money is? You know who's handling it? Did you know that only the owner of an insurance policy can change the beneficiary? It's time for women to step into their power and to be able to handle things. Make sure you're paying bills together. Rotate it. I know you don't like it. Who likes paying bills? I mean, that's like, wow, I love doing the dishes, but you have to do it.
When you talk about financial infidelity, something that I've heard a lot lately is forensic accounting in divorces. Yeah. And is it just me, or is that a term that's always been around, or something that's like a new thing that women are getting tuned into to make sure that they don't get screwed?
The answer is it's been around. It's the Columbo of accounting who goes and finds the accounts that have been hidden someplace. Oh, there were inheritances and they didn't know about them. Notwithstanding that, it can be very minor. We can also be guilty of financial infidelity. It's lying to your partner.
Let's stay on that topic, because that is something, those stories about financial infidelity, they resound with us. Because a lot of times, you know, 20 years doing this, you meet with people, prospective clients, and there's a red light that goes off when they're like, oh, I don't want them to find out, or I don't know what my husband makes. You tell a story in the book that triggered a lot of these stories for us, which was the story with Muffin and Biff, where Muffin liked to decorate, spend. Would you tell us a little bit about that story?
When I was doing Oprah, we do this thing called B-roll. B-roll are little segments that you do before the show, so they cut them in to show background. This was going to be a very simple show. Muffin liked to decorate and spend money on, you know, goofy gnomes, because you can't get too many of those. And Biff was the earner, and Muffin was home raising the two-year-old. Very simple. All we were going to do on air, build a budget. They were very simple people. This wasn't complicated.
Yeah.
And we're going down, and it was like, okay, Biff, what do you earn? Okay, what's the mortgage? What's your student loan? And then all of a sudden, Biff freezes. I go, is there any other debt, any other obligations? And Muffin's sitting there with the two-year-old, and Biff goes, well, there's one other obligation. When I was 15, I had an illegitimate child, and I pay...
This show just turned into something else.
This could have gone Jerry Springer. Muffin takes the kid and runs out of the room. She goes up to the freaking roof. I'm like, this is above my pay grade.
To jump?
Yes. We go running after her from the jump. I've got to now tell Oprah. Okay, you know what? This went sideways. This was not where I thought the little budget. Why don't we do another show? After a week, they call me up and say they've worked it out and they want to be on the show. Okay, we're going to do this over, but we're going to leave little Bobby off this. Is that good with everybody? So from Muffin's standpoint, she said, and so did Biff later, it never would have come out. He would have hidden this. He would have hidden this.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. I'm just picking my jaw off the floor with this.
Yeah. I love that you're like, I'm a financial person. And what are we doing here?
What are we doing?
Hey, listen, we get into a lot of topics in this world. When you start asking people about money, you're right. Like, all of a sudden, you get a lot of personal things that come up.
This is one I love. So when the couples do start talking, maybe, about money, men lie and inflate their income, and women lie and deflate income. How's that one? I love that.
They deflate income or expenses?
No, income. Because
why?
Right. What? Because they feel the old paradigm, that old baggage we're carrying around, they're afraid to admit that they earn more.
They're afraid they're going to emasculate him in front of somebody?
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm not speaking for all men, but that would not be emasculate.
Come on, man. Yeah. Hey, sugar mama, make it work, right?
Hey, make it work. Yeah.
Let's move into advice. Let's move into tips for our listeners. I'm divorced, now remarried. And so one of the things that happens when you're divorced is like you're just trying to, first of all, you don't realize how big the club is. Everybody comes out of the woodwork and you're like, oh, you're in the club too. So it does happen, and it's good to have these tips. And frankly, a lot of the book, by the way, it grabs you, right? Get off your assets. Oh, my gosh. But a lot of it is just good, sound financial advice for married people, right? Yeah. For anybody considering a relationship. So if we focus on the finances post-divorce, give us some tips for women who might not be the primary wage earner in that relationship, the sort of things that they need to focus on.
The big thing is to start getting involved. And it's never too late. You also need to, I call it building team you. You need your team of financial people who are in your corner, your lawyers, your people that you want to literally be in your corner to help you. And it may be the accountant. It may be, we know it's the lawyer. We know it's the financial people. So that when you go through this, you're not doing it alone, because you're going to start, if you've been left out of it or abdicated, you're going to feel stupid. And that's the biggest thing in the world. I don't want women to feel stupid. And he may be very intimidating about this, especially if you've dropped out of the workforce to raise kids. Your income is less, your savings is less, your 401k is less, your Social Security is less. You will be behind the eight ball. And the big advice for women is, we look at marriage and a divorce. He loved me. We were in love. He's going to be fair. He's going to take care of me. A man looks at divorce as a business. It's a business arrangement. Which is why in a divorce, women's standard of living goes down, men's standard of living goes up. So she's got to build Team U that's for her. The other thing is, and I know this is controversial, I'm not crazy about mediators. The reason is their job is to make sure everybody holds hands and sings Kumbaya. The fact of the matter is, I want her to have somebody in her corner. Don't ever use his attorney. Get your own team together and meet with them, talk to them, and make sure that, especially the financial people, that they're going to sit down and help you design what your life is going to look like moving forward. I'll tell you the other big mistake. Women get emotionally involved with holding on to the house. I want to hang on to the house. We raise the kids here. I have an emotional attachment and I want to stay, and no, you will not kick me out of my house. Yeah. Let's go and look at what that really costs and what you are giving up to keep it.
So that sort of made me think about it. It's like, if you're not the primary wage earner, the advice, one of the advice that you have in the book makes a lot of sense when we see it, is that women beat men at investing. They often are more patient. They will listen, right? They don't need to feel the need to rush to act. What do you see in that realm?
I liken it to a man or a woman at buying a car. Men go in and macho do let's talk about torque and let's talk about this.
Doug definitely wants to talk about
definitely torque.
A trunk
my, base, Doug talks right? about is my seat heated.
I want to know if it's going to fit my needs. Is it going to get through the snow? Is it going to do this? Don't talk to me about the engine. I know there's an engine. It's the same thing you've seen in the financial world. I want to impress you somehow. A man often, I like men, by the way, a man also wants to be able to say, well, my broker came up with this secret investment and I got 58% return in 1 week, okay, which is cocktail conversation. Women want to know that the money is going to be there when she needs it.
Yep.
Of course, I want a good return, but I'm not going to take those risks, which is why, on average, over time, exactly what Doug said, women do better. P.S. I talk a little bit about that. Do not use TikTok as your financial advisor.
All right. So let's talk about hidden costs of divorce. And there is one that you wrote about, health insurance. That, I feel like that's one that comes up all the time, that like a big part of it. What are some of the other hidden costs that often overlook?
What I want you to do is take a step back. Design the life that you want. Start with the craziness. You know, I want to keep the family house. I want to do this. I want to do that. And what are the things that you need to live? Well, you need, you know, health insurance. You need a car. You need savings. You need all those things. Put a price tag. Buy the things you think you want. What's it going to cost you to maintain that? Health insurance is really the big one. If you're not qualified yet for Medicare, you're going to pay a lot. And even with Medicare, you pay a lot because you're going to have an override insurer. The other thing is that I want you to look at is long-term health care insurance. Mm-hmm. You will get older. What do you want that to look like? So there are those hidden costs that you have to start to analyze. And again, with your financial person, put a price tag. So decide what's important and start putting those price tags. What about that designer clothing? What is going to bring you joy?
Designer handbags. Handbags and watches. No?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I'm not going to judge. I'm just going to say you need to think about, what are the trade-offs? What are those things? But yeah, health insurance is not negotiable. That right. one is go find the best. And you can go agent. As you know, you can go broker, you can go, what's it going to look like?
Doug, I said copious notes, okay. All right, Neil, let's talk a little bit more about get off your assets. In the book, you talk about the concept of a money map. Can you tell our listeners what that is and also explain its significance in post-divorce financial planning?
With the money map, the first exercise I have you do is to take a look backwards. Look in the rear view mirror in terms of your current spending. Mm. And I call it the no magic money log because there's no magic. You spent it. It didn't. No one came in and stole it from you. So go back over your current spending. You've got the bills. Go look at it and do this for a couple of months to really track your spending and make a little note next to each one. It was planned. It was impulse. It's a need. Or it's a want. And then all of a sudden, you have a handle on what your spending has looked like. Now you get to design the money map moving forward, which is decide again, where do you want to live? What do you want that to look like? I've lived in this neighborhood my whole life. No, I don't need, you know, a 10,000 square foot home, but maybe I can go buy a condo and I'm still here with my friends. Okay, cool. What's that going to cost?
So again, we touched on the assembling a team for Gray Divorce. I think that's a really good argument for all this stuff. As you're thinking about who do I want on that team, can you share with any common pitfalls to avoid when you're piecing together people that help get you financial advice?
Absolutely. What you need to do is pick people who are going to, that you're going to feel comfortable with. If you've had financial people and you know them and you trust them, they're part of the pod. If you've never gone to a financial advisor, then it's time to go pick somebody. And you pick them the way you pick a hairdresser. My 85-year-old grandma, Jewel, she said, what do you mean? Well, wait a minute. Don't you pick a hairdresser? If you walk in and you use a hairdresser and you come out and your hair is an orange color not known to mankind, you wouldn't go back, right? Don't you know how to do that? You ask friends, you ask family, you get recommendations, and then you find out if you're comfortable with them. That's how you pick a financial advisor. Do not hire an attorney who drives a Bentley and who has a professional tan in February. They're using your money to do that. If it makes no sense, get out. And sometimes women are intimidated by the fact that these people are experts and they have, you know, a Harvard degree on the wall. I don't care. I want somebody who's going to care about me. The other thing is that I say in the book, they need a box of Kleenex and I want them to care about me. So if they have Kleenex, I'm in.
Hang on, I got to write this down. If they have a Kleenex, I'm in. That's so funny. Let's talk a little bit more about emotion. I will share with you all that my mother-in-law said to me early on in my marriage, it's just that you feel things more than other people. And I think Doug could probably agree with that sentiment. But in terms of emotion, how would you advise Blumen to best address these emotional challenges that accompany financial decision-making during a great divorce?
I find crying is a really effective tool.
I love to cry. Yeah, it's my
hand.
I give myself, you know, the 10-minute rule, because you can't really cry more than 10 minutes at a time. It's kind of exhausting.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be a way of losing weight, but crying does not lose weight.
You would think it would burn calories.
You feel exhausted.
Don't you? Right? No. What you need is you need emotional support. And when I've got some stuff in the book saying part of Team U is the emotional support that you're going to get, the friends that are not only going to let you cry and do a lot of the good Kleenex hugging part, but also we're going to say, okay, now let's talk about how we're going to move forward. However, allow yourself during this process, it's going to smack you in the face. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Or no, I'm over it. And then all of a sudden there's a phone call from him and you're back in tears because you can't believe that this is happening to you. Allow yourself that grief. It is a grief process. It is a loss process. It's not just buck up.
Yeah.
It's scary. It's terrifying. You're going to go from being crushed to being furious. Any financial person and any legal person needs to have that empathy about the fact that this person is going through a lot. And also, you are starting to drink through a fire hose at that point.
Right.
There's so much that's going to be thrown at you. You don't know what to do.
What are your thoughts on prenups?
Love them. Love them.
Yeah.
I like to wait for the second date before I bring it up, but you know.
I'm old fashioned.
That's just me.
I agree. The thing, and you mentioned this in your book, is like, what better way? So you're thinking about, it's not good to think about the bad outcome, but it's not improbable. And so what better point to decide how that's going to play out than when you're, you know, in love with somebody and you care about that somebody, you're starting from the right angle.
Also, you can, as the couple, avoid the tough conversation by saying, my parents, the money that I'm going to inherit or whatever is family money, and I have to honor my family, and that's part of the discussion. And let's use the prenup process to discuss what income, what debt. In a lot of marriages, there are his kids and my kids and our kids and their kids, and we need to discuss that. I like to look at a prenup as a discussion, and that's why the book is also for my generation to hand to your generation to say, before you're going into this, I want you to read this chapter.
Really important to go into it with eyes open.
So for women who might find themselves now at the start of a gray divorce, what would you say is the most important message they can take away from Get Off Your Assets?
You mean besides buying the book?
Besides buying the book, of course.
Understand that you can do it. You can design the life you want. You are entitled. You're entitled to a life. You can do it. You don't have to be afraid of it. You'll go in and out of fear, but you can actually do it. And the vast majority of gray divorces are being initiated by women, which is really an amazing situation, which is why this book is necessary now, because I do speak to women and I am making sure that they have the steps and the literally the take-home value to be able to handle this, and they can. I don't care if you've been a housewife, you've designed an entire life. You can do this.
Yeah.
This is not so hard, but you need help.
Let me talk about this. And I'm not blowing smoke. I mean, as a plug, as an advisor, if you don't know much about the divorce process, it's very helpful, right? It's helpful to get considerations and thinking about, because inevitably these problems find your door as a financial advisor. You're talking to people, you're asking the questions, they come up. And so it's a good kit for like, hey, let me help you out. I'm a history guy. There's one thing I really like the history of divorce, literally like Hammurabi's code, Henry VIII's divorce and how he got, and then all the way up to like current day, like as early as 2010, right? No fault divorce was just recognized by New York. It's really good. It's informative. Also, by the way, if you're in a marriage and your wife has all these tools, it's good for guys to have a book like this. So they know that like, hey, what's the playbook that they're going to run on me that so I can defend it? By the way, what is a no-fault divorce? What is that? Why is that beneficial?
That you don't have to. In the old days, somebody had to be guilty. So someone was cheating on someone. Someone didn't supply sex in the marital bed. There had to be fault. We don't have to do the shaming. Yeah. So no-fault just says it's not working. It's the please pass the butter. It's Bill and Melinda Gates. The kids are gone. The dog is dead. And you wake up and you go, wow, I did love you. And it's not that I hate you, but we have nothing in common anymore.
Oh.
When you have a whole list of things that doesn't include him, you go, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. And he's built a life also. I mean, this is not good bashing men. He's got his thing. He's got his business stuff and his clubs and his association. And that doesn't really include you necessarily. Mm-hmm. You're not going to parent teacher night. You're not talking about kids' grades. You're not, you know what?
Yeah, it happens.
It happens. And it happens more and more.
Yeah.
And now women are acting and they're saying, wait a minute, I'm going to live another 40 years. Now what?
Yeah. Neil. Oh my gosh, I love you so much. I'm girl crushing all over you. Tell us, like, what happens now? You've got this new book. Do you go on tour? Do you do book readings? Tell us about that part of this process.
Kind of all of the above. I love to give speeches. I love to work with financial people. And the reason is that I don't want them to be half pregnant. It's not just advice. You need the team you. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to find people with whom you can speak and that you trust, because you're asking these people to help you design the rest of your life.
Neil, it's always a delight. Thank you for being gracious with us and sharing all these tales. And
thank you so much for stopping by again today. Ladies, gentlemen, everybody, get off your ass. Get this book. Go get the book. Where can we get the book, Neil? I got mine on the Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon.
I'd love to have you, I don't know, come and do a ladies' luncheon and talk about Get Off Your Assets.
Love it. I love you guys. No, I love you guys. I want to hang out.
We do a women's luncheon every year, and I would love if you would be our guest and talk about this with these ladies, because, man, do they want to meet you. Believe me.
I'm in.
So, awesome.
No, it's great. And I love what you guys are doing, and you're bringing topics that people care about. And it's you're bringing money to life, and you're making it real. And it's not about the money. It's about their values and the life skills that they need to live in the real world. So kudos to you guys. Love hanging out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Neil.
And thanks for stopping by.
Yeah.
I love
her.
I
like her.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
She is funny. And I want to emphasize that she isn't about male bashing. She just wants people to be smart about their money.
The line she gave us the first time around was like, listen, I'm all for, you know, guys can take out the trash still, but, you know, like, yeah, just telling you to participate a little bit more. Neil's good. She's good for what we do, especially because she's empowering.
Yeah.
You
know, yes.
You can do this. And like, even when she's telling you like how to educate your kid, like she's making it approachable. She's making it informative.
Yeah.
She found what she's supposed to be doing.
Totally. Totally.
Very impressive.
Well, I can't wait for her to stop by again. She's going to come to our women's luncheon. She wants to hang out with us. So that means you have to come to the lunch too. You have to be the token.
I'll tailgate. I'll be there ahead.
You'll be at the bar.
I'll pick you guys up afterwards.
Okay. You'll be our DD.
You know, I don't want to muddy the estrogen in the air.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.